The DigitalLifestyle.com presents the Media Centre Show, show 176, Thursday 9th of October 2018. From Embedded Automation. I'm Ian Dixon. This week, returning to the show is Brian Binnerup. Brian is the developer of MyMovies application, and MyMovies is soon to be coming to Windows Home Server. It includes features like DVD ripping and automatic cataloging and that kind of thing. MyMovies is one of the most popular media center applications, so I'll be looking forward to talking to Brian about the new update. I'll also have your email and roundup of the week's news. First email is from Declan. Hi there, Ed. I haven't emailed you for a while, but I'm still listening to the show. In show 175, you mentioned that you use an application that rips DVDs, but there is no link in the show notes. I use Slysoft and Video Redo, but I was looking for an app that will do all the work. Put a DVD in the machine, tell it where to save the WMV files, and it's done. Edit recommendations. Declan. Thanks for the email, Declan. It's good to know you're still listening to the show. One of the things I'll be talking with Brian about is kind of this automation process. But currently I'm using DVD to WMV, and it's a bit of an older application. I think it's not been updated since 2007. I know it doesn't work on 64-bit systems, it does work on 32-bit systems. That basically uses DVD decrypt and rips the DVD and then does a conversion into WMV, which I've used and been very happy with when I went on 32-bit systems. So I think that's a option you should have a look at, and I'll include a link for that in the show notes, and we'll see what Brian has to say about DVD ripping later in the show. The email address for the show is ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. Please keep them coming in. Do like getting them. If you can help anybody out, or if you've got a question or something I should be talking about, if there's an add-in I should be talking about. Also, reviews as well. If you've got an add-in review you'd like to do for the website, let me know. It's all at ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. So let's have a look at some of the news from my blog and some other sites. First up is there's a new MSNBC add-in for Windows Media Center users in the US and Canada. I haven't been able to check this out myself, but according to Brandon on the Windows Experience blog, it gives you quick access to the latest election news, top stories and weather. I love these kind of gadgets, and I think these are a really nice adding for Media Center to just catch up with on-demand news, weather and things like the election. So I think that's a nice application, and I really hope that we see more regional applications coming up, so you want UK and other regions as well. Have a look at the link in the show notes. It's got some screenshots and a link to Brandon's post on how and where it should be in Media Center. I did notice on the comments that someone in Ireland got it working as well, but I haven't tried that myself. PC Magazine put an interesting article out last week about the TV pack, the Windows Media Center TV feature pack. And in there they highlighted some of the features and the pitfalls, how to get the TV pack, and some good information on how to get ClearQuam working as well. So have a look at the article and link for that in the show notes. I think it's a good overview really of what TV pack is and how it works. So check that out. Okay, Brian sent me details of a new Windows Media Center application for Germany called More TV. This is a add-in for Vista Media Center for their existing remote record service that's currently available for set-top box. The app adds extra services to Media Center like personalized and editorial recommendations, search buddies, keyword recording, premium EPG for German channels, and a web and mobile based EPG as well. So it looks quite nice, and some screenshots for that in the show notes, and check out the blog for more details. One interesting thing I spotted this week was about Freeview in HD, and Freeview are planning to launch a HD service in the UK next year, actually starting with the Granada region, which is my local region. And in the press release, the managing director of Freeview mentions Media Centre as being one of the platforms. So hopefully when HD comes to Freeview, Media Centre will be able to support it. Freeview HD is going to be using H.264 for the HD channels, so at the moment Media Centre wouldn't be able to play it. And also, looking at the interesting comments on the blog post for this as well, they're going to need new tuner cards as well. So it's going to need a new tuner card and an update for Media Centre to be able to support it. But it'd be really nice if that's the case, that you could just buy a new, you know, £50, £100, whatever, tuner card and an update from Media Centre and you've got HD content. Whereas a lot of people will perhaps looking to replace set-top boxes and just throw them out and replace them with new HD compatible ones. So interesting to see if that happens. I really hope that Media Centre supports that when it comes available next year. If you're a Windows Home Server user, then I've got an interesting offer for readers of the DigitalLifestyle.com and listeners via David McKay from the Home Server Show. The application Keep Vault announced custom data plans. This is like an offline cloud storage for Windows Home Server. And if you have a look at link in the show notes, you'll find there's a discounts for DigitalLifestyle.com readers and listeners. So have a look for that link in the show notes. And we're going to be talking to David about some home server add-ins on a future show, and we'll probably talk about Keep Vault as well. I wanted to say thanks to the people that congratulated me on being re-awarded the MVP. It's a Microsoft Most Valued Professional for Windows Media Center. It's really nice to get recognized. I think it's really a recognition of the community and the site and everything else. So I'm really pleased to be re-nominated and hopefully be able to keep you up to date with all the latest going on in the Media Center world. And finally, I wanted to mention a UK meetup for Media Center enthusiasts. I'm looking at planning something next year for Media Center and Digital Lifestyle enthusiasts to meet up somewhere in the UK, show off Media Center, Home Server, other Digital Lifestyle products, show off perhaps home automation, linking Media Center with robotics or web services, web applications, a bit of development, whatever. Really, I want to bring all, you know, just an event really to show off what things you can do in Media Center. And so I really wanted to get some feedback from listeners to see, first of all, would you come? Is it a good idea? Is it a waste of time? If you would come, where would it be? Where should it be in the UK? What you'd like to see showing off there, and would you like to show off any of your projects? And you know, what kind of products should be focused on? So let me know, give you some feedback. You can leave a feedback on the blog post. I've had some good feedback on that already, or you can send me an email, ian@thedigitallifestyle.com, and we can, you know, I can add you to the list. And if there's enough interest, then we'll be organising an event next year. So it's really down to you guys. If you want to have this meetup, you know, maybe a fun event, maybe it's an evening thing or an afternoon thing, and some food and maybe some swag and, you know, that kind of stuff. If you want to do it, let me know, and if there's enough interest, we'll get that planned. So, don't forget, you can keep in touch with Ian at thedigitallifestyle.com. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/isdixon, and you can see me on the blog as well. Right, so now it's time for the interview, and this is with My Movies developer, Brian Binnerup. Brian Binnerup, welcome back to the Media Center Show.
Thank you, Ian.
And we're going to be talking today about My Movies and the new area for My Movies, the Windows Home Server add-in. That when I put a teaser post up on the blog, there was an enormous amount of interest on that. So welcome back to the show. It's been a while since you've been on. So let's start with just a recap on My Movies, what it is, and sort of the history of the project.
Yeah. My Movies was initially created as a plugin for managing movies and watching movies within Media Center. Today, it's an alternative for many users that uses the DVD library that Media Center has internally. My Movies was initially created for Media Center 2005, which also means that it's one of the last applications that are still running on the old hosted HTML development model. It means that the interface is a bit different from what you can get with the new MCML interfaces. My movies is very soon to be out with in a MCML version in an initial beta, but I think we'll have a chat about that when it's ready.
Oh, that sounds interesting, because that's one of my questions was, a lot of people said, when's the MCML version coming out? So you've definitely got that in the works.
Yes, I do. Actually, it was not even planned that this home server part was going to come out before, but it kind of makes sense to have this out now that it's actually finished. So
the MyMovies application, like you said, it's been around for a while, and is one of probably the most popular add-ins for Media Center from the XP days up to now. What do you use it for?
The purpose is index your movies and have an easy browsing of your movies within Media Center. You can compare it to what the music library does for music.
So the idea is that you've got a catalogue of all your movies on there, and it's got all the metadata, the artwork,
exactly,
and everything else. And is this for offline copies, you know, physical discs, or is it ripped DVDs or copied DVDs onto your machine?
It is for both. It can be either physical copies you have on your shelf. It can be stored DVDs, Blu-rays, HD DVDs, and so on.
And then, I guess since you started the project, probably more people most people were using the sort of the physical copies of it. But then, in the last few years, it's become more of a server storage application where people are copying the DVDs onto the local machines.
Yes, exactly. But that's generally how people are using their discs today. No matter where you look, they are putting it on storage and playing it back from there. I think that's 99% of all users is using it that way.
And so most people are taking a copy of the DVD onto the local machine, and then using MyMovies to index that and catalogue that.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess there's two elements in the two MyMovies as well. There's the front end that you see in Media Center, which is currently a HTML application, and then there's the actual metadata, the index, and how you know it pulls down the cast names and the directors and all that kind of stuff. So are they sort of, would you consider sort of two separate applications now?
You can consider two separate applications. Perhaps I should tell you a bit about the history in that. MyMovies started up as a screen scraping program going on the internet and loading data from IMDb and Amazon and others. It is similar to what many other programs are doing today. That proved to be well working, but had some limitations, mainly because the data is limited. It's very limited what you have access to of these data, and simple changes to a website can mean that nothing is no longer working. MyMovies web service, which means that all our users was able to contribute data to a common service. And this service is today running on two soon to be three servers in a hosting environment here in Denmark. All of it for when users index their movies, and it has a upside. First of all, you can rely on it working all the time. Second of all, you can search things via barcode. You can search from titles, insert discs, and have them automatically identified because of disc IDs and similar. These are options that you did not have available when searching for metadata on websites. So that is the background of the web service and the data service. And this is what we are going to be using on the home server parts. We are going to provide these metadata for not just MyMovies users, but users of other programs too.
So, to mention the other programs there, so there are, like you said, DVD library and Open Media Library and other applications that can consume the MyMovies data. So you mentioned about the Windows Home Server add-in. So How is this different to how you would have it, where it collects the data straight from the MyMovies website?
It's a bit more automated than the current MyMovies client, if that's what you're referring to. MyMovies is today only loading data from its own web service. There is no external providers or anything like that anymore. The Windows Home Server parts will have some folder monitoring functions running directly on the home server, which means that whenever you copy a movie folder to a monitor area of the home server, metadata is automatically added to the folder itself, and this metadata is able to be picked up by not only MyMovies but by other programs too. Of course, the Windows Home Server part will function as a standard MyMovies server for MyMovies clients. Just as if you had a multi-zone installation of MyMovies today.
So with this, you could copy a DVD folder onto your home server. If it was in the watched folder, it would automatically then catalogued and indexed, and all the metadata would there. And if you're using DVD library, say to look at that folder, it would have all the data that's downloaded from the MyMovies service.
Exactly, that is one part of it. The second part is that it contains an automated disk loader. You can say that normally you don't have a DVD drive on a Windows home server. At least many of the shipped home servers do not have optical drives. This can be solved by adding a USB drive to an existing server, and it can then function as a disk copier, so that when you insert a DVD or Blu-ray or HD DVD, it automatically copies to your home server and adds metadata at the same time. And these copies are, of course, also available to other projects.
I mean, that's the really interesting part for me. Is that part of the reason why I don't always stick all my stuff on my servers and machines is because it's just a pain, you know, sorting the copy process out. So with this, if you can put a USB drive on there, saying that you can then just put the disk in and it'll do the copying and the cataloging and the data, metadata and everything else, and then it'll be available then as a share that you could pick up from Media Center.
Yes, exactly. To use it in the DVD library, there's a little catch, because the metadata is stored on the home server, and due to the way that the DVD library loads its data, there is a small tool going to be provided with the MyMovies for Windows Home Server that allows you to move the DVD library's metadata folder from your local machine to a share on the Windows Home Server. It's as simple as a click on a button, but you need to be aware that this happens, because if the Windows Home Server is not available to the client, then the DVD library won't be able to load metadata in any way.
And I guess the one of the great things about this is you've got a centralized storage of your DVDs and your metadata, so all the Media Center clients on your network can see the same place.
Yes, exactly. And MyMovies is not required as a client software. It can be good to have if you need to manually edit metadata, or if you need to improve your metadata or similar. But MyMovies is actually not required on the client for DVD library or other programs to load the data.
Right, that sounds interesting. And then what about actually say streaming the content through to the client? So I'm thinking sort of an extender. Is there some kind of streaming functions built in?
Putting a copied typically a video TS folder on the Windows Home Server can play, because the extenders are not able to play video TS folder structures. That's a limitation in the extenders. But there might later be an option to copy directly to a format that is playable on the extender too.
Yeah, so that would be a feature request I'd like to add in there to have it all fully automated so that it converts to WMV. Yeah, maybe along with everybody else.
You and everyone else, I think.
Yeah.
I This is a common problem for everyone. I don't understand why Microsoft simply haven't solved it and ensured that video TS folders were playable on the standards. It can't be that hard, but it's been discussed over so many times that the users are probably sick at hearing it of extenders not being able to play video TS folders. But the fact is that no matter what you do, you're going to lose something here. You are going to, if you move away from the video TS folder, you are going to lose menus, you're going to lose subtitles, and so on. So if even if you are able to create a file that is playable on an extender, and of course you are able to, it's not that hard. But if you do that, you will be down to having only one choice of an audio track, and you will have no subtitles.
Which I guess that's a problem for a lot of people, and especially with non-English speaking countries where they're using the titles subtitles a lot.
Not in Denmark, where I am. There people typically here is able to watch a movie in English, but if you go to France or Germany, it gets harder.
But it's still it's an option still that I would use, especially for the kids stuff, because it's just just for the running an extender. But I guess then you've got projects, that some of the MVPs have worked on of enabling DVD streaming to extenders, and I guess a combination of using that project and what you're doing here, you could probably quite easily get it up and running.
I think so, yes. I know about the solution you're talking about here, and it was actually a solution that a friend and I tested. I think it's about 3 years ago when the Xbox was initially released, and the situation may be different now, but there's all sorts of problems in that area. One problem is that extender have a hard time if when going from one part of the merged file to another, where there may be multiple audio tracks on a disk, the extender can have a hard time deciding which audio track to use, and it can either totally crash the extender session, or it can make it suddenly play a different audio track, so you can go from English to French in a second.
So yeah, it's getting that automated sort of hands-off thing where you put the DVD and you rip it, and then it's there in the menus and everything else. That's really what everybody wants to achieve.
It is, and it can happen. What my movies will do if this is implemented, and I think it will be at some point, is that the files of the video TS folder will be merged and remixed into a new file containing only one audio track, so that this file is for sure playable in the extenders. But you will lose the menus, and you will lose the subtitles.
But for people that use their media center machines directly connected to a TV, then they don't have to worry about this. They've got the full access using the TS folder.
It depends, because you can save either both the video TS folder and an additional file when this comes, but this is of course means that you will have to use double the amount of data for one movie.
But it's nice to have both options. But I really do like the idea that of the automatic ripping. I think that's a really nice feature. So on that, how are you getting around some of the issues around, say, protected DVDs? Is it possible to rip, just any DVD? Because I mean, there's software out there to do that already. But is it possible to do that directly from this home server client?
My movies is both in its clients and in the home server version have at all times only been able to copy unprotected disks, and this is of course a few amounts of disks out there that is not copy protected. What users can do, and what My Movies writes as a disclaimer, is that in some countries it is allowed to circumvent a copy protection to copy the stuff onto your hard drives. In other countries, this is not allowed. What we do is that we allow users to install any DVD, And if any DVD is installed, it removes the copy protection on a driver level, so that all discs inserted into your machine is becomes unscrambled, you can say. What we do is that we write that users are themselves responsible for complying with the local law when they do that. So right. They can choose to install any DVD, or they can choose not to. If it's not to install any DVD, My Movies will only copy discs that are unprotected. So My Movies is it's very important to point out it's not redistributed with the with any tools to circumvent protections.
Yeah, exactly. Because we've seen the recent thing with Real Networks trying to put some DVD stuff, some copying software out there that's been removed from sale already.
Yeah, interesting thing, because what Real is doing is they are actually first copying the DVD, and then they are reapplying some DIM functions on the DVDs, and that's very interesting. If what the outcome of that trial is, Kaleidoscape had a success with their trial, but that's probably because they are officially licensed to use CSS.
Right. And I'm real. I mean, the DRM is a pain, but at the end of the day, you're not. Most people aren't doing this to rip off and copy DVDs. They just don't want to physically go and get the disc and put it in. You want it like with your music, where you've just got a library.
Well, it's a discussion of fair use, because what is fair use? And purchase a Blu-ray disc, which is actually about $50 in Denmark each. I should be allowed to put it somewhere safe where the kids do not scratch. They can be played without any risk of harming the disc. I know this is not how the studio sees it, at least not how some studio sees it. But at the end of the day, it's about what is fair use for the consumer who actually purchased these discs. It's also very very important to point out that My Movies is not creating features or creating anything that helps pirates use the tool. It is created for users who purchase their discs.
And one other thing that you mentioned a couple of times that I wanted to expand on more. You mentioned about Blu-ray and HD DVD support. So, using the combination of this home server add-in and any DVD, is it possible then for it to work with Blu-ray discs?
Yeah. If you install an UDF file system reader, the DVD discs and the HD DVD discs have a higher version of the UDF file system that the discs use. And this is not included with Windows 2003. It is on Windows Vista, but home server is based on Windows 2003. So these discs are unable to be read on the system default. But if you apply a file system reader, they will be supported fully. There may be we're looking into solutions to allow My Movies to be distributed with an UDF file system reader, but I don't know what the outcome of that would be.
And one other thing that you mentioned about the ripping, having a DVD drive hooked up to your home server. If you've not got that option, you can still, I think you mentioned it before, you can still copy it to your media center machine or whatever, and copy that folder over, and it'll get as long as it's in the monitored folder, it'll get then added to the system.
Exactly. Actually, My Movies has a pretty new function there that is very interesting, because it is actually able to uniquely identify a video TS folder that has already been copied. Typically, when you copy a video TS folder either from a disk to a storage system, or from one disk to another disk, or copy it to an image file, the normal disk ID is changed so that the disk can no longer be identified correct. My Movies is able to analyze the actual DVD structure and create a unique identifier from that, and which means it's actually able to uniquely identify VDOTS folders copied to storage even after they have been copied.
Ah, I see. So normally once you start moving the TS folder around, you lose the disk ID, but MyMovies is actually analyzing the structure and looking for a pattern that it can then match up with the original data.
Yes, exactly. In our service, we have a lot of information about what we call online disk IDs and the ordinary disk IDs. So we're able to match up our own calculated online disk IDs to these original disk IDs, so that an already copied VDOTS folder or a backed up disk can be identified just as if it was an ordinary disk.
So, because I guess that some people are using the sort of creating images of the disks and storing those on the server. So, is that a good way of doing it, or the better way is it to do it with the TS folder?
We certainly recommend VDOTS folders for DVDs. MyMovies is unable to read inside an image file when it's placed on the file system. So when an image file is placed on the file system, its lookup will be based on the folder name. And not a direct identification. So it's certainly recommended to use VDOTS folders. You don't gain anything by using ISO files or image files. The only thing you gain is that you are required to have an image mount or such. A virtual clone similar also takes up system resources, so there's no reason not to just copy to a VDOTS folder. On the other hand, for Blu-ray and HD DVDs, Cyberlink was forced by some of the studios to remove playback file structure. So for Blu-ray and HD DVD, it's recommended to store these as ISO files, because you have no other option if you want them played back with Power DVD.
So Power DVD needs the image of the DVD rather than the file system.
Yes, not because it can play the image, but because you can mount the image, and once mounted, Power DVD is unable to determine if it's an original disc or if it's a mounted ISO file.
So it's funny, isn't it? The hoops that you get put into just to do what would be a very natural thing of just copying your disk to your server and watching it on your extender or your media center machine.
Yeah, I think it shows a lot about the studios here, because users who spend a lot of money on discs. I have myself here more than 100 Blu-ray discs on the shelves and at an very, very high price. This is a lot of money that the consumer spend, and we are not allowed to use it as we would like to. The studios actually, during the specification for Blu-ray CDs, specified what was described as a image copy, which means that you are able to, in a legal way, copy the disc. When the specifications weren't finalized, guess what part of it was left out?
Well, I think HD DVD did have that sort of managed copy, and that was one of the reasons why I was hoping that would be the feature, the format that went out.
Actually, the story was that HD DVD, the HD DVD group, introduced this feature into their specification, and shortly after, the Blu-ray group introduced same feature. Then the HD DVD group changed the specifications for it to be a mandatory managed copy, which means that you should be able to do this on all discs. It was not something that the studios could choose not to have on the disc. The Blu-ray group, after that, decided to also change their specification to have it become a mandatory managed copy too. But fact that neither Blu-ray or HD DVD have until now been able to do this.
It's a real shame that the consumer doesn't get thought about this, but I think this is what the movie industry is almost where the music industry was a few years ago when CD ripping first started, and now the music industry is looking at DRM-free MP3s. Maybe the video industry will look at that in the future, but I wouldn't hold my breath.
No, I'm not sure either, but there's they should advocate what we as consumers are willing to, because the music sales are actually very, very high on online music today, and it is because that's just the way we as users would like it to be. We don't need the discs. We don't need the copy protections and all that stuff. We are willing to pay for the product, no doubt. It is just they need to understand how we would like to use the products.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you're paying a lot of money for the discs, and at the end of the day, it's the users end up having to use these like AnyDVD and DVD decrypt tools just to get. Just to watch a their own purchased movies.
Yeah, what I'm sure of is that I'm not sure if this is something the studios do because they want to avoid the movies being redistributed over the internet and just copied away from by everyone. What we call pure piracy, or if this is something they have created because they don't want us to use our purchased discs the way we want to use them. Actually, I think only the studios know, but I can see the fair part in to avoid the pure piracy, but I can. Certainly, also see the unfair part in the users who spend a lot of money on their original discs and can't be allowed to use them in a way that makes sense to them.
And I think something like a managed copy would have been a good way of doing that, to provide you with a way of watching a copy on an extender or on one of your portable devices, in the box with the actual Blu-ray disc. I think that would be a good way for it to work.
Yeah, it would be perfect. So they actually knew that this was a requirement, but of some reason it always ends up being the parts that aren't that. Important when they have to release the products,
and you do wonder then whether eventually they'll kill their own market and as more people go for digital downloads to get the movies.
Yeah, you can now you say kill their own market, but digital downloads is their own market too. So I don't know if they actually care about that, but it's unfair to the consumers who actually are willing to. Pay and pay a lot of money for the products. So this is you can say that this is actually a consumer versus consumer issue, where the consumers or the users who does pirate copying is ruining everything for the rest of us.
And that's one thing My Movies does is makes you get better use out of your investment in your movies and your DVD collection. So it's actually increasing the sales potentially because you're going to buy more if you can get it on any platform.
That is the whole purpose of it. I think most of our users is users who really, really, really care about the movie collection, deeply care about the movie collection, and they spend a lot of time ensuring that the data is correct and they can watch the stuff on of the discs so as actors and so on. They spend a lot of money on original discs, and they just want to use it in a way that makes sense for them.
So the home server add-in, when is that going to be available, or where's the place to go to find out more information on it?
Actually, it's already available on our website as a pre-release. It became available yesterday. It is still a pre-release, so that you can't be sure that everything is perfect. But I would expect a final product within a week or 2 weeks.
And there's still the other application, the HTML one, and the other stuff is also available on the My Movies website as well. And also, that's it's mymovies.dk, isn't it? That's the place to go to get all the information. And you've got a good forum on there as well.
Yeah, we have a lot of users who is willing to help out if anyone needs
Well,
getting.
many thanks for your time, Brian. It's been a really interesting, looks like it's going to be a really interesting application, and I think there'll be a lot of interest in that. And I look forward to getting you back on the show to talk about the MCML version of it.
Yeah, I look forward to that too, Ian. Thank you.
Thanks to Brian. All the links talked about in this week's show are in the show notes on thedigitallifestyle.com. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/isdixon, to try and keep some updates on there. I like following you back, so have a look at that. You can find me on blogs and in the forums. Don't forget the user reviews, I still want to get those, and the meetup. If it's going to happen, I need to make sure there's enough interest, so let me know. And I'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. Bye.